This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
China moves to take golden shares in some of its tech giants. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Will Bain. Thanks for being with us. Yeah, China is moving to take golden shares in local units of some of its biggest tech firms, including Alibaba and Tencent. It comes as Beijing continues to seek greater control of companies that have boomed in recent years and, crucially, the content it supplies to its millions of users. Duncan Clark is chairman of the consultancy BDA China. He's also the author of the book Alibaba, The House That Jack Ma Built. I asked him what was going on.
What it is doing, I think, is making explicit what was already implicit, that we knew the government effectively has a lot of control over big tech companies in China, particularly in content. But they would have that control through different means, regulations and announcements. By having a equivalent of a golden share, it's not a golden share itself, but having some more management rights and a seat, it's making it explicit. So the government is formalizing what people already knew, that government has the ultimate say.
That's how it would work in practice, is it? Someone would be on the board and they would have a say over certain things that the business did, particularly the content it was pumping out and whether or not to censor some of that content.
It's not as clear as that, in the sense that they would have the right, I think, to oversee the editor, probably name and fire the editor. So they're sort of maintaining the, almost the pretense that these are fully independent companies, but they're basically on the inside now. I mean, they, you know, look at some examples. They've only paid maybe a few hundred million RMB, but they have a 1% stake in a unit within this big company, which effectively gives them a lot of influence. And the companies know that they have to keep that person, whoever's nominated, happy. You know, the longer term question is, can they continue to be innovative and, you know, highly profitable if they have to have this explicit control from government? That's sort of unknowable at this point.
And similarly, be able to work and get investment from other countries around the world, because we already know lots of eyes on how much Chinese government involvement is in some of these companies. If they're now explicitly taking seats on the board, that presumably rings alarm bells in Brussels, Washington, elsewhere.
Correct. I mean, obviously with TikTok, it's a very live issue. And so it's stuff that may help the government in China feel that they control these companies doesn't help at all these companies overseas. There may be a point in that. Maybe the government say, well, you know, too bad. Ultimately, you're a Chinese company. So there are different ways of interpreting it. But generally, yeah, this step up in control, not unexpected, but also wouldn't have been desired, perhaps, ultimately by the companies, but they have no choice.
Duncan Clark, chairman of BDA China, thanks very much for speaking to us.
Thank you.
Well, let's get you up to speed with the markets now. Europe ending the week as it started, all in positive territory right now. Germany's DAX is up 0.4% after the country's growth figure for the year came in better than expected at 1.9%. The Swedish mining company LKAB says it has found Europe's largest known deposits of rare earth minerals in northern Lapland. They're used in electric cars, wind turbines and other gadgets. But Chief Executive Jan Mostrom says it will take time for the mine to get up and running.
What really will be challenging for the time frame will be our permitting process and, of course, the question of investments. What we can see on the scale, it will be huge, of course, because it's a big deposit.
Well, he touched on the permit process there, and mining can often be controversial in Lapland. The town of Jokkmokk in Sweden's Arctic North is deeply divided over a British company's plans for a new iron ore mine on the land that's been used for centuries by indigenous Sami reindeer herders. The BBC's Maddie Savage has this report.
Reindeer herder Richard Lenter is driving us down a narrow, icy lane surrounded by pine trees. And he's telling me there'll be more animal accidents if this road is expanded for mining machinery, and that a mine would cut off access to grazing lands.
Right now, we're standing up here where the planned mine would be. If we can't use this area, we need to find another place, and then our reindeer would need to be led into another Sami village, and I'm not allowed to be there. If I turn up with my reindeer, then there would be conflicts, because there's not enough pasture to go around.
And Rickard says reindeer herding is already more challenging than it used to be due to climate change. There's less deep, fluffy snow and more wet, slushy stuff. This freezes quickly and makes it harder for animals to graze. But the aim of slowing down climate change is exactly why the mine's supporters believe it should go ahead.
My name is Maria Sunier, and I'm the CEO of the Swedish mining association Svemin. Steel and iron is extremely important in most of the technologies we need for the green transition, for example, for wind turbines. So actually, if we're going to cope the climate crisis, we have to start in the mine.
Sweden's former Social Democrat government supported that argument when it approved the mine in March and said it would bring jobs to a shrinking community. The right-wing parties now in power voted in favour too. But the approval came with a long list of conditions, including compensation if herders need to change the way they work, like using trucks to bypass the mining area.
Hi, Maxida. Maddie, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Maxida Merak is a Sami singer and rapper who's been campaigning against the mine.
It breaks my heart that they are even talking about putting our reindeers in trucks or in fences. Everything that we do, it's such a beautiful thing from our tradition. And the only thing they want to do is to force us into making these free animals into trapped cattle.
What do you think the impact would be on the reindeer if they had to be moved in trucks?
If you have to move the reindeers in trucks, you kill the whole soul.
And climate activists argue that a mine will create more environmental problems than it solves. They're worried about the impact on biodiversity and waste ending up in lakes and rivers. Greta Thunberg called the mine an example of colonialism on Swedish radio in March. Last month, her charity gave the Sami community more than $190,000 to help them keep appealing against the plans. The British company that will run the mine, Beowulf Mining, still needs to secure an environmental permit from Swedish authorities before any work can start. It refused multiple requests to speak to the BBC, but the Swedish Mining Association is optimistic the project will happen.
Today we know a lot about how to mine responsibly and to do it with as little impact as possible. You can never get away from the fact that a mine is a hole in the ground and you need transport and you need the infrastructure around it. So you will affect the environment, but you can do it as little as possible.
Sami and climate activists say they won't give up without a fight, though. This is a Swedish radio recording of campaigners clashing with police during early exploration of the site in 2013. And if the mine opens, people on both sides of the debate here fear even bigger protests.
Maddie Savage reporting. Just about it from us. Thanks to our team, though, today. James producing. Jack's been at the controls. Joe Critch is our editor. And thanks to you, too, for listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.